Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Work in Sanity, a show about keeping your sanity while you work from home. I'm Tom Merritt. I've been working from home for 10 years, running my own podcasting business and writing novels.
And I'm Patrick Deja. I've been working from home for over 10 years, doing production and podcasts and more.
Today, we're going to address some questions and thoughts some of you sent to us.
Thanks for sending these. Keep them coming. Send us your questions on working from home to contact@workinsanity.net.
Our first email comes from Jerry. Jerry says, been working from home since late February, and for the most part, it has been going great. But there are a few coworkers who don't use headsets or mute themselves during meetings. Some type so loud it sounds like firecrackers, while others introduce feedback because they're not using headsets. How do you suggest we help people understand why using headsets are important and that not doing so can be very disruptive and distracting during meetings?
This is a really fun one, which is also a little bit infuriating. I think there are two ways of going about this. Either you tell them, and if they're coworkers, you might want to tell your manager, even though there have been probably guidelines that have been mentioned. Maybe it's worth mentioning them again. Or you actually serve them up with a little bit of their own medicine. And that's probably not the best way to go about it. But you have to tell them. And maybe, you know, it's very delicate because it can be seen as a little bit obnoxious. But most people don't know that they're creating these issues, because when you're on the other end of this thing, it doesn't affect you. And so if you're not told about it, then you don't realize that it's creating these issues.
Yeah, this is a tricky one, because and Jerry in his email to us said that management had emphasized the importance of wearing headsets, and some people just aren't doing it. So it's tricky, because in an office situation where you're there in person, it's hard enough, but you might be able to just kind of drop by somebody's desk and you know, politely bring it up. It's more difficult when you're dealing with email and text message and stuff like that. You also may be dealing with people where you're not necessarily their colleague. They're in this meeting, but you don't have a relationship with them. I think if it's a friend or someone you work with in other situations, it's easier to just approach them when you're talking to them one-on-one about something, to say, hey, you know what? I can hear your keyboard. You know, I don't know if you realize that. And there's all kinds of polite ways to bring that up. But if you're not in a situation to communicate, I don't know. Maybe, and it depends on the situation you're in, you can bring it up during the conference. Say, you know what? I'm sorry, I can't quite hear because somebody's keyboard is loud, right? Like, and just point it out when it's happening, so that, because people may not realize that it is a problem, they immediately say, oh, that's me, sorry. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think bringing it up and not pointing to someone might be the best way of going about it, because all of a sudden, usually my experience is that the people all of a sudden like freeze, the people who are typing freeze and like, oh crap, they're talking about me without mentioning my name, but I know it's like, oh, sorry. They can mute themselves, but then they're probably going to forget to unmute themselves. A good way to go about it might also be for everyone, for the person leading the meeting, if you have that, to, before things even start, to remind people, hey, if you have a headset, please, can you put it on? I know it's a little bit annoying, but it makes things easier for everyone. Or, you know, mentioning it without pointing to someone specifically might make it more difficult for them. If at the beginning of the meeting, it's been said, remember not to type with your mic open or use a headset. And then 7 minutes later, someone is doing it. It's like, oh. You can make them feel guilty about it a little more easily, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tricky, right? You're like, because you don't want to guilt trip someone, but you do want to make sure that they get the message. You can also mute people. The leader of a meeting can mute people in most of these video conferencing software. So that's a step that can be taken as well. You just got to do your best to get the message out there, and know that there's always some people that just don't quite follow the rules. That's true when you're working from home as it is when you're working in person.
There is hope on the horizon. Some companies are starting to implement systems that filter out unwanted noises meeting. Google is doing this. There's an NVIDIA thing that's happening, but it's on the horizon. It's not really happening for every piece of software quite yet. So.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Second question that comes from Ragnhild. I hope I pronounced that well. We got that question asking, what do you do to take care of cybersecurity when working from home? That's a very good question.
This is a great question because, you know, the employees are usually the vulnerability. If you don't realize that, it's not usually the vulnerability in the software so much as it is the person who clicked on the link they shouldn't have. And so your security is more under your control when you work from home. Certainly if you're working for yourself, it's all under your control. And best practices remain best practices. One of the things you can do if you're in a leadership position is make sure that everybody you work with knows what those best practices are. But they're going to vary depending on your organization. But the general gist is make sure that you're running antivirus. Make sure, whether it's Windows Defender or something that is provided by your company, that you're running something that will try to catch stuff. Don't click on anything in email that you're not 100% sure is legitimate. That's how phishing scams work. They try to make you think it's something legitimate. And so you have to be aware that if it's from someone you don't recognize, or it's even from someone you recognize and you think it looks odd, like, why are they asking this? Be careful before you click, especially with links. If it says, you know, click here to log into your bank, maybe just go type in the URL yourself rather than clicking, because again, those URLs can be spoofed to take you somewhere that they shouldn't.
I really want to emphasize this. Do not click. By default, just don't click on stuff. Just don't open attachments.
Yep.
So this is your default approach to anything you get via email or social media or anything. Just don't do it. Don't click, don't open. If it is something that you think is from someone legitimate that you know, and that is something that you know they actually sent you because you need it or you required it, then decide that you can break your rule on not clicking on anything and actually click. But the default should be wondering if it's necessary for you to click that link.
And stay patched. Now, if you're working on an enterprise deployed laptop, it's likely that your IT department keeps you patched. It's in their best interest to do so. But again, when you're working from home, maybe those patches didn't get pushed, or maybe you're on your own equipment. And so make sure that you have got the check mark in your settings to say automatically apply security updates. If you're the kind of person who's not going to check all the time, make sure all the software that you're running for your work and even for your non-work, if it's on the same machine as your work, is up to date, that it's constantly being patched, that you've checked and made sure I have the most recent version, because that's the next way that you can be the security vulnerability, is by having an insecure piece of software running. And maybe you could have accidentally clicked on that bad link and it was blocked because you had a patch. But if you're not patched, then that vulnerability could happen. And you're trying to make it as close to zero possibility as you can. Now, you never get to 100% security, but you want to get as close as you possibly can.
I think there are a couple of other things we could talk about. Archiving your essential data is always important. That's general security things. It doesn't necessarily apply to work from home specifically. But again, as with everything else, it's more important when you work from home, because it's possible that you won't have any other way of doing that. So archiving your most essential data in case something happens. It can be, you know, an online service or just copying to a hard drive that you keep safe in your home. Using a VPN, especially if you're going to work from a coffee house every once in a while, using a VPN, very likely if your workplace doesn't provide you with one, a VPN that you pay for. It's worth investing however much it costs to have a secure VPN solution. And from home, it might not be as important, but if you go work on public Wi-Fi and things like that, that's worth it.
And encryption. Make sure that all of your disks are encrypted, that your communications, any of the sensitive communications you're using, are encrypted wherever possible. You want to encrypt as many of the things as you possibly can, because if someone does get a hold of your data and it's encrypted, then at least it's not any good to them. And so you want to take as many of those preventative measures as possible. Biggest one is stay patched. That's the one I will underline. And the next biggest one is don't open attachments. Don't click on things you shouldn't. All right. Our last question comes from John, who lives with his wife and two recently graduated children in a 3-bedroom house. John writes, how can I make working from home with my family not feel like I'm dominating a space? We were just talking about setting up a desk in our bedroom for either of us to use when needed, but my wife didn't particularly like that idea. Any other thoughts? Fortunately, my church has let me use one of the small rooms during the week. We're still shut down here in Santa Clara County, so I do give her some space one day per week, meaning his wife. But do you have any other suggestions? We talked about, you know, if you're in a smaller area, you may not even have a whole room to yourself. But even when you do, that may be a disproportionate amount of the space if you've got a family living with you.
I don't think there's any good answer to this. You need a space. This is just, I think, John, you do need a space, and it has to be somewhere. And it is going to obviously, you know, not create friction necessarily, but it is going to take over a part of the apartment. There's no, that I can think of, there's no way to prevent that. I used to work in a 1-bedroom apartment with my wife. We didn't have a kid at that point, although at some point we did, and that was not a fun 2 or 3 months. But I had we had 1 bedroom, 1 small kitchen, and 1 living room. And I had my desk. I worked for years at my desk in the living room, and we had decided, this is where I work, and we were trying to make it as non-disruptive as possible, but it is disruptive. And, you know, it's hard to put it in those terms, but you as a family unit have to find a way to deal with that, I think, because I don't see any way around it. You have to define that space, you know, in the bedroom, it's this desk, and that's where I work, and most of the day I'm going to be in there, and the rest of the house is yours. Your kids are graduated, so I feel like they're adult enough to understand the situation. But yeah, you have to have that decision made and kind of stick to it, right?
Yeah. I think, Patrick, you're the best one to address this because of that one-bedroom situation that you've experienced. I haven't had to experience anything quite as tight as that. But it's about communication, and it's about setting boundaries to say, like, I do need this. I realize you need that. Let's work with what we've got and try to figure it out. Maybe the kids have some ideas, you know. Maybe if you have the family meeting, you can put all your heads together and help. But I'll throw this one out to the audience too. contact@workinsanity.net if anybody's got some good ideas that we can pass along to John. Thank you, John, for writing.
And we also got some other thoughts and tips from folks in the audience. Thank you. So here's Big Jim, who sent us a voicemail.
Hey, Tom, and bonjour, Monsieur Beja. It is I, Big Jim. Of course, you knew I was going to call into this new show. This is a great idea. Here's my quick takes of things that I recommend. You guys were right on about the scheduling. I don't use a calendar for some of this, though. Some things like daily things like, hey, go home, or hey, go to lunch. Those things, I actually use an alarm on my phone, and here's why. I could be on a conference call, and I don't want a calendar thing to come up and me just dismiss it, and then I'm forgetting about it. Whereas if it's on my phone, I'm going to naturally look at my phone. Okay, what's beeping? Why is this so important? So that's just my two cents. That's what's worked for me. Maybe something else will work for you, but hey, what are you going to do? We're all working in insanity.
Yes, we're trying to work from insanity to sanity. Thank you, Jim. That's interesting. Using the alarm function for certain things, if you get that notification fatigue, it's a cool tip. Thank you again, Jim. And that's it for Work Insanity. We hope we helped you bring a little sanity to your work life from home.
Keep those questions coming. contact@workinsanity.net. I'm Patrick Beja. I'm not Patrick, in one word, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So you can follow me there.
And I'm Tom Merritt. You can find me at tommerritt.net. And you can find both of us at workinsanity.net. Talk to you later. Oh.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.